Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 144, recorded on August 30th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we talk about the recent Nindies Direct and all the good news that that brought, as well as what we've been playing and lots more. And tonight, we're also joined by a good friend of the show, Jacob Rush from Nintendo Nostalgia. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is August 30th, 2017. Joining me tonight...
It's the 30th
that you've ever seen. Joining me is, of course, King of VGTribune.com, Jesse Waldeck. What's going on, Jesse?
It's kind of like what I do with my youngest daughter. You know, she hates it when I do it, but when I will drive into her boyfriend's house, I'm like, okay, I'm taking a left on 51st.
Yep. That's,
she hates that.
That's not a thing, Dad. That's not a
thing. It is now. I said it is a thing.
Yeah, speaking of being a thing, joining us as well from the land of the South, Marty Estes, what's going on, dude?
Not much. Trying to figure out if I'm thing one or thing two.
Hey, you know what? Just keep... I don't know. Be careful, you'll go blind. I don't know what that means. Joining us as well from Nintendo Nostalgia, of course, is Jacob Rush. What's going on, Jacob?
All right, blah, what's up, guys? I am so stoked to be here. I'm thrilled. This is round two. Let's go.
Yeah, we just finished recording Retro Rewind, our Donkey Kong 64 episode. It was actually a pretty big episode. It ended up being a lot. Actually, I really, really enjoyed our episode of that. So,
yeah.
You guys have that to look forward to coming up. For those of you who are watching live, that's awesome. You can probably pick it up now, even on our YouTube channel, or it's going to hit the feed on Sunday.
I set it to private
until it goes live. Yeah, see? So that's what you get. If you're not here for the live recording, then you got to wait.
We're hoping for Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. historically, it's like Sunday morning, I get a text, hey, Zach, where's that episode? Oh, crap. Hang on. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure
things are so smooth around here. You guys don't even know.
Yeah. You have no idea how
like butter.
It's all held together with peanut butter and duct tape. So, right on. All right. Well, we're going to mix up we've had some feedback that we want to get to some of these questions here. We want to get to, a lot of, you know, we've got some good stuff. So we're actually going to do the listener mail first this week. And, so I'm going to play that bumper and we'll get into it. All right. And of course the listener mail is brought to you by, oneupbox.com. So if you want to get a sweet box full of goodness and, free stuff, it's not free. But if you order with the code Nintendo Dads, then you will get $3 off your first order. And there's all sorts of good stuff in those every month. Marty, what do you got in that?
That's right. This month's theme was fight, and so had items in there from Ninja Turtles and Marvel and all kinds of stuff. The coolest part of it, I thought, this month was they had, and you would really appreciate this, Zach, they had a print in there of Spider-Man caught in a web that looks like Doctor Strange's astral projections.
What? Oh, that's awesome. That's
you know awesome. What? I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, dude, that's
I'm just going to send it to you.
Do it. That sounds great.
But here's the thing. This is a good place to mention this. For our $15 and above patrons on Patreon, we're about to do our monthly mystery merch giveaway. And this month, all of the stuff in that box is going to come from a various assortment of 1UP Box leftovers. And it's don't let the leftovers confuse you. There's some really good stuff. Like there's going to be a t-shirt in there and stickers and headphones and all kinds of cool stuff that's coming out of that. That's like exclusive to 1UP Box.
Hot name.
So if you are a $15 and up backer or a patron over on patreon.com, you'll be entered in a drawing for that. And we'll announce it via Twitter later on this week.
That's super cool. So what are you guys doing, man? Go sign up. That's awesome. All right. So let's get into our emails here. First one is from Brandon. He says, hey, dads, my question is about Nintendo Selects. Can you guys name six games on either Wii U, Switch, or 3DS that should be Nintendo Selects? So I'm guessing that that's six games total across all of them, correct?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Or maybe six for each system. And can we just go ahead and get this out of the way here? There are no games on Nintendo Switch need to be Nintendo Selects yet.
Nope, they're
too new.
Too new.
And that's really the thing is it's not the quality of the games or anything. It's just the game the system 6 months old. It's barely
in 3 years, sure. You know, would probably see Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey on there on that list.
Mm-hmm. I would say Mario Odyssey. I don't think we'll ever see Breath of the Wild on there.
You don't think so?
No.
I really don't. Okay, I'll tell you when we see it.
It was a big deal, I think, to see Zelda on there, to see Wind Waker HD.
I will tell you when we will see it. We will see it when the sequel to Breath of the Wild comes out. Right? So if we see another Zelda game on the Switch, then we'll see Breath of the Wild on Select.
Because I know the Ocarina of 3D made the Selects list because Majora's they announced Mask. That a week after I bought it digitally because I lost my cart.
Of course they did.
So
yeah,
that's how Nintendo works. They're like, oh yeah.
So yeah,
you bought that game. Let's reduce the price.
It's not unheard of to have Zelda games in this program. So if they do one for Switch, I'm sure Breath of the Wild will be there.
Oh yeah. I'll give you that. So Wii U titles. Here's some that I thought that might come to mind. Here that I think will fit. Yoshi's Woolly World, I think, would be a great Nintendo Select choice simply because that game has now moved on to the 3DS, and that's probably the more accessible of the two, especially since Nintendo's not pushing the Wii U anymore. And it's just, man, it is dang adorable. Like, if you've not played Yoshi's Woolly World, and it's not just that, like, it's cutesy and cheesy and everything, it's a really good game. And so I think that would be a good choice. I also think that Mario Kart 8 would be a great choice again, because you have the newer, flashier version on the Switch. For those people who still haven't picked up Mario Kart 8 and are living under a rock somewhere, this would be a great pickup for $19.99. And maybe even let them get that DLC in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I would add to that too. Bayonetta 2, I think.
Just two or the package?
Well, I say two specifically because it was because that was the new one. If they were to bundle it up, the Wii U version, right? The Wii U game. If they were to do just that game as a Nintendo Select single package, whatever, it was already kind of on the discount anyways, right? Because of the bundle. So I can see them doing that. And that's one of the highest scored, you know, like I'm looking on Metacritic of like ranked by game score. It's the fifth highest Metacritic score on the Wii U, period. So I can definitely see that Bayonetta 2 being one that they would put on there because it was so, you know, a lot of people missed it. So you could potentially do something like
that. I think that the Wonderful 101 would be a fantastic Nintendo Select title.
I think something to keep in mind with all of this, though, is I would not hold your breath for any Wii U games to be added to the Selects list anytime soon. They added the Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Wow, I'm surprised I remember that whole name. They added that not too long ago, but I think that's not a hint of anything more to come. I think that's just
Wasn't that just a European?
Was it region?
I don't think that came in North America because I found a list of seven games that did make North American Select program, and then I added like five games that I think might be good candidates. But the problem with that is four of the five either are Switch ported or probably will be or should be. So we probably will never see them because they'll be on the Switch.
You're talking about
That's a perfect chance for them to do Nintendo Selects. Make the Wii U version a Select and port it to the Switch.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
So the games that I came up with was, you know, I mentioned Mario Kart 8, which was already said. New Super Mario Brothers U with the Luigi U DLC.
Yeah.
That's surprising that that's not there. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I was surprised too. Smash, Splatoon, and Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Splatoon would be a fantastic one right now too, is if not just for the promotion for Splatoon 2.
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, so that's so what about 3DS? How are we feeling about 3DS games?
There were only two that I came up with that I could actually just kind of pick out and pinpoint. And maybe you guys had this one too. Mario Kart 7. I think it's time for it to be a Nintendo Select. Yeah. I mean,
especially since it's in the spotlight again with the World Championships.
And I mean, I'm sitting here, we sat here and collectively scratched our head for why that game would be in the championships. And
that'd be a good
reason. It would be used for that, and it would be a great time to roll that out for $20. But I also think Kirby Triple Deluxe is on there. I think another Kirby game slotting into that spot would be great. So Planet Robobot is an excellent, excellent. It's probably my favorite Kirby game of all time, and I think it would be a good fit there as well. What about the rest of you guys?
Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yes,
I think that one is. It did not get the like. It was kind of panned, but I think that it's got that perfect mix of like it's kind of early 3DS library, but also like an actual like first party Nintendo franchise, right? That's well loved. So I think that's that one. Here's the thing though: is that do they pack the stand with it? Do they pack the AR cards with it? Like, I don't know. Like at the very least, they'd have to pack some AR cards with it. But I don't think they actually pack that stand. I still have.
I actually
that
really love that game.
It's so good. Yeah. It is like playing an anime, like a Saturday.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. Like the story.
Crazy. It's so.
It's just bizarre, out there. But here's the thing. Like I played that on the original 3DS, the original turquoise 3DS with the tiny screens, man, I would love to play that now on my 2DS.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so fun. The different things that happen in that game, the cast of characters, there's a boss fight where you fight, a heart, like you go inside the main antagonist of the game, like into his body and fight his heart. Not like a heart shaped heart, but literally like the organ, and it runs around this little labyrinth maze thing and part of the boss. Oh
yeah, I remember that.
Right, like weird game. I love. Yeah, it was a really really good game. So I definitely think that one. I feel like a Fire Emblem game probably like Fire Emblem Awakening maybe, like the original Fire Emblem Awakening could be.
Yeah, I would say out of the three, I would say Awakening would be the best candidate.
Yeah. Although that still is arguably the best one on the system, which is Star Fox 64 3D. I don't know if that one is already. That's another one that seems like it would be a good.
Yeah, I looked in the retail game folder on my 3DS, and other than New Super Mario Brothers 2 and the disaster that was Sticker Star, I think most of the other games I have are actually kind of niche games. So I'm not sure if any of these would really be good candidates.
The first game that came to mind, and I didn't put it on my list because I thought it might be a little too out there, like you were saying, Jesse, was Codename Steam. But I think you can find that for $19.99 no matter where you go.
I think you can find that for about $5 if you know where to look. That game was not very – I mean, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. But
maybe Mario? Fantasy Life might be a good one.
Is Mario Golf World Tour – is that already one? I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't think so.
I didn't look up the 3DS list, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's not. Mario Golf is not on the 3DS Nintendo Selects.
And I think maybe another really good one would be Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, I think. I know that there was a 3. Monster Hunter 3 was on here, like on the system or something. But I think Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate specifically.
I think that you, like Jesse had mentioned, New Super Mario Brothers 2. I think that would be a good one if they didn't just pack it in with a new 2DS.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Which why I don't know, but Federation Force, I think we should put that in there.
Yeah, somebody needs to play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody knows, get it out there a little bit. No, I mean, it's not out yet, but guys, let's face it, in about a year or so, the 3DS will die down. And you know what? I think Metroid Samus Returns would make a good candidate in the future.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think that would definitely be a good one. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be good.
Oh, totally.
It's going to be so good. Okay, so awesome. And then the Switch, I think, again, it's too early for that. But obviously, I think Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and
actually, eventually, yeah,
right. Like that's maybe ARMS as well. You know, because it seems to be those games that are like, oh, this was a good game and it was well received, but also maybe underperformed. Pretty
much, yeah, any game that's already sold 1 million units in the first 6 months.
Yeah. So right on, Brandon. Thanks for your question. Next one up here, we have, hey, this is from Jeff GG. Hey guys, so as the Wii U died out, I bought a PS4 and I'm not a very sophisticated gamer, so I don't understand all these genres of games and subgenres, etc. So for me, I had trouble finding games on the PS4 that I wanted. I did like Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 1 and 2, Lego games, etc. But when it comes to the Switch and Nintendo, I like almost every game. My favorite games are Pikmin 3, Luigi's Mansion, Splatoon 2, all the Mario platformer games, etc. Anyway, can you explain to me how to describe the type of gamer Nintendo gamers are? What genre is this, etc.? Thanks. I don't know if genre is necessarily how I would classify a Nintendo gamer, is my initial thought on that. I think that, you know, going through all of those, like, it seems like it's more about one of the things that I think Nintendo really succeeds at. And even judging by the games that you listed here as well, the Plants vs. Zombies, and Lego games, there is a, I think family friendly makes it sound like it's kiddie, and that's not what it is, mm-hmm. but there's a certain character design and care for the world of the game. You know, Pikmin 3, Luigi's Mansion, like they really take Splatoon, especially they really take the time to, make them fun. Maybe the word is fun that I'm looking for. Right, like
I think that like when I think about how to classify Nintendo games or how like Nintendo fans, the word that keeps coming back to me a lot is gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are very very few Nintendo first party games that I've played that I've gone, man, this game just sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. And I honestly, the only one that I can remember off the top of my head that I just went, this has been an absolute trash waste of money, is Yoshi's Touch and Go for the Nintendo DS.
Hmm.
Terrible game. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like Nintendo games, like especially first party games, it seems as if there's a level of care and a level of personal, like, personality is not the word. Like,
I think personality is actually not.
Well, I mean, personality is one way of saying it, but like, there's a level of heart, yeah, that and like a personal feeling that goes into the games that they make.
Yeah,
you know, there's an emotional connection there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas I may not really feel an emotional connection to the next Call of Duty or Gears of War or like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, and those are fine games in and of themselves, but
I think as well, like I was actually thinking today because I haven't picked up Mario versus Rabbids yet. I'm still kind of on the fence about it, but I went into the eShop and I was looking at, a list. Cause you can go in and look at a list of all the games, and you can sort it by price range. So on the eShop right now for the Nintendo Switch, there are 7 full price retail games. Okay. So which actually is surprising to me that it's that low, but we're talking full in Canadian dollars, $80, for a full price retail game, which by the way, totally sucks. Like if I was paying $60, if this game was $60, I would have bought it already. But anyways, so these are the games that are on here. Two of them are third-party titles, that being Disgaea 5 Complete and Fate Extella, the Umbral Star. Those are the only two non-Nintendo games that are full price on the eShop. Other than that, we've got Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8, ARMS, Splatoon, and then Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. So in all of those, I see a really strong emphasis in character design, in like a character-driven...
Technically, I think Mario and Rabbids is...
It's Ubisoft, right?
Or Ubisoft. It's published by Ubisoft, not with Nintendo. Right. So three third-party games.
Right, okay. My mistake. Having said that, right, like still, even looking at some of the other ones here, like Nintendo... The biggest thing is that focus on the characters, right? The character design is such a critical part of that game, of the experience. Mm-hmm. That is honestly, I think, what drives the games, right? That is what drives the success of so much of that, is because, and I mean, we just finished recording Donkey Kong 64, the episode on Donkey Kong 64. Take the Donkey Kong characters and the whole sort of environment of that game out, and holy crap, that game would be nowhere near all the people who do have right. nostalgia for that game. That game would have sucked if it wasn't for the characters and for the environment and the story and all of the setup that goes into that. Right. So,
well, Chris White over on the chat actually brought up a great word, and I think it goes along with this as well, you know, because we've been talking about gameplay and characters. He uses the word accessibility.
Yes, that's exactly the word that I was going to say approachability, but exactly.
Accessibility. Yeah, well, I think they kind of mean the same thing. The yep. characters are approachable. The gameplay is approachable. The music in a lot of Nintendo games is it draws you in. The visuals, you know, and Nintendo is, I think one of the things they excel at the most is that they are masters of teaching you how to play the game while you play the game.
Yep.
Right.
The tutorial in the game is huge.
They've had, they've had some pretty bad missteps on that. I'm thinking of like Skyward Sword or,
but for the most part, I think that they do pretty good.
Yeah.
One thing you'll notice with PS4 and Xbox One games is a lot of the games are samey. You know, someone goes, I want to make a first-person shooter. I'll make it look like Battlefield or Call of Duty or I want to make a third-party game. I'll make it look like Gears of War. So that's why all these genres and subgenres in the other systems all kind of clump together, because that's kind of by design. But Nintendo has a way of taking a gameplay concept and spinning it a little bit. Like Pikmin 3 is a take on real-time strategy. And Splatoon 2 is its take on the post-apocalyptic third-person shooter.
Right.
So even though it looks nothing like StarCraft and nothing like Call of Duty, but the underlying gameplay elements are still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I would say, you know, to describe a type of gamer or Nintendo gamers, Nintendo gamer, you know, really, because I own a PS4 and there are some games that I like to play on PS4 that aren't on Nintendo systems. If they were, I would have bought them on that. Just, you know, Persona 5, Final Fantasy 12, if you've been listening for the last 2-3 months. But the majority of my games that I like are on Nintendo systems, just because they're on Nintendo systems and they're not, though, that type of play just doesn't exist anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Correct. There's no play like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Very well timed product slogan there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right on. So, so thanks, Jeff, for your question. I don't know if we even answered it, but I think we did the best we could. our final email comes from Regan RJ Watchman. Sure. It says, "Bonjour, Nintendo dads. Like most of you, at least with those with a sophisticated taste for video games, not to name names. I've been enjoying the heck out of Splatoon 2 along with my kids, but I've also heard Marty and Zach express their enduring love for Overwatch. I've never played Overwatch, and until Splatoon, I've never been someone that has played many shooters, especially due to their graphic nature. But Overwatch seems less violent and more cartoony, like Splatoon. I would be interested to know if there are any similarities between the two games. Are they simply both fun, or are there aspects of one game that you enjoy over the other? And would Overwatch be something acceptable for kids to play? Love the show, and it's pronounced Zed, not Z. That's true. Yes, that is true.
Even I've been hanging around you guys long enough that I will say the LZ button.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay, Marty, I'm gonna say this. Like, I don't think that comparing Splatoon and Overwatch is quite right. Right? Like, playing Splatoon feels like Saturday morning cartoons. Overwatch feels like watching a Marvel movie, right? Like,
and really it's because you're in the same genre, but you're fundamentally comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Because of the way the games are set up. So here's Splatoon 2, which is squad based zone control. And each character is really the same. But the only difference is their weapons, right? They all kind of have the same abilities. They shoot, they jump, they go through the ink, and then you can pick a weapon and a sub-weapon and a special that give them some differentiation.
But, and you, like, depending on what weapon you have, you kind of know what your role is too, right? Like,
there's some defined roles. But, I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
But then you come over to Overwatch, where it is squad based and there are missions, but you have an extremely defined role.
Yeah.
And you have an extremely set part to play. I know that if I'm going to play Reinhardt, then I'm going to be up front, especially on payload missions. I'm going to be up front walking the payload forward, or I'm going to be sitting on top of it while I have my shield up, protecting everybody else and letting everybody else do the work. Mm-hmm. You know, of killing, and they're going to protect me while I protect them. On the other hand, if I'm Doomfist now, who I understand has fundamentally changed the game for a lot of people, he is very much up front on the attack, get in, get out, come back and do it again.
Yeah.
Unlike Splatoon, Splatoon is not a lone wolf game at all. You have to have your team. If you play Lone Wolf, unless you're Eric Plunk, you're not going to do anything.
Aaron, I mean, Plunk, like, the man who just carries his team every time.
Eric Plunk is a team. That's just, it's like him. That's it. That's all you need. Yeah. Unless you've got to have your team, and you've got to kind of be looking at the map to see where people are and playing support and push forward and offense and defense. But what now? With Overwatch, if you're good enough at your character, you can kind of hang on your own.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're running offense and you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you get out front and you don't have to worry about anybody else. But here's the deal about the violence aspect. I think it's totally okay to let your kids play Overwatch because it has about as much violence as a typical Marvel movie does, with even less blood. You know, and physical signs of violence. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I like, there are definitely, go and watch, if you're concerned about it, go over to youtube.com/playOverwatch, watch the cinematics, even if you're not going to play the game, but watch all of the like cinematic shorts, because they're like Pixar quality, games or Pixar quality shorts, and they're just amazing to watch. Like, find the one called, like, there, I think the original introduction trailer that's in the museum is really great to give you a feel of what that game is. There's a really, really good one called The Last Bastion, which is
fantastic.
Is so good. And there's just a lot of stuff like that in there that you can really get a feel for what the world of Overwatch is and all that kind of stuff. So go check it out. I think it's fun. I wish that it was on the Switch, but I, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know if it I think they could make it run if they wanted to, but I just don't know if they're motivated to do it. So, so that's where I would, that's my response to that. Anything to add to that, anybody, before we head into the news? We got some news stuff to do. So, by the way, if you want to email the show, you can do so nintendodads@gmail.com. And, we'll read your emails. And it's a good time. So, all right. Well, with that, gentlemen, we're going to head straight into the news. And, of course, the news is brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads. And we've got new patrons. What? Are these new? Woo! Like you put these in, right? Woo! Was that a Will
Ric Flair?
That
was Ric Flair. That was, yeah, we got four horsemen.
All right, man. Sweet. All right. So what do we got?
It's more like three horsemen because, huge thanks to our newest patrons, John Blanco, David Snowden, and Tyler Vidito. I hope I'm saying that right. Huge thanks to all of you guys, especially John, who has come on. And John has actually come on as one of our new Patreon producers as well at the producer level. And so, Rob Isimo, we are bowing down. You know, here we go. We're not worthy. And we gotta hook up with you here soon and figure out when we can get you on the show as well. And so, and really, to thank you to each and every one of our patrons. We appreciate you. Even if you're at $1 a month, you are helping us do, you know, all kinds of things that, quite frankly, I didn't realize, like, I didn't think that a podcast could do.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Like, so,
I also want to clarify something. I was called out this last week, and Bruce actually reached out to us on our Facebook page. And he was like, I hope that Zach's opinions of $1 per month Patreon supporters is not the opinion of Nintendo Dads. And so I was like, wait, what? I don't remember this at all. Everybody, I just want to clarify that you guys absolutely, I appreciate everybody who supports the show. I appreciate everybody who doesn't support the show. I also enjoy saying ridiculous things and running my mouth for the sake of humor and entertainment. So for all of you, having said all that I've said, all of you ungrateful people who don't pay, I hope you sleep at night well. So, that's all I'm going to say about it. Everybody is awesome for listening, but, you know, you're going to have to live with that too. So, having said all that, we're going to move on. So thank you, everybody. Okay, let's get into the news, shall we?
Let's do it. All right. I'm excited about this Nindy showcase.
Okay,
man.
So I maybe real quick here, like literally, this is going to be lightning round before we get into this. Four pieces of news that I think are noteworthy. I don't even think we need to talk about them unless you guys have anything to say about them. First thing, Telltale Games is bringing both Batman and Guardians of the Galaxy to the Switch. I already have Guardians of the Galaxy on Steam, which, so I actually am kind of like, maybe I'll get the Batman one. I don't know. But are you guys excited about this?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's not the first episode of Batman, so it's actually going to be The Enemy Within. So I had that originally on the PS4 and just finished it up. I'm slow.
Okay, so is there more than one Batman one?
There's a new Batman one. It's out right now on PS4 and others. It's called The Enemy Within. It's like the second one. Oh. And that's the one that's coming to Switch, as well as the collection of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. The Guardians of the Galaxy, I haven't played the third episode yet, but episodes 1 and 2 was pretty good. So,
I've been thinking about picking it up. I'm going to wait till I can play it on the Switch.
You get to meet Rocket Raccoon's girlfriend. So that's pretty cool.
What's her name?
I can't remember, but I think she's an otter. So,
so is she like if he? I'm thinking here, like I'm snowballing. Yeah. Like Rocket Raccoon.
And like I can't remember what her name is now. But anyway,
I was trying to think of a weapon that started with O, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Like a I don't know, onion.
Onion otter.
Oh, boy. So that's Telltale. I'm hoping that, like, moving forward, they're just going to release their same stuff on the Switch at the same time. That would be ideal. Next up, we've got the VR references have been discovered in Switch code. So I don't know what the specifics are on that, but that's not a surprise to me. I mean, they probably are playing around with that stuff. I don't know how much.
Basically, just there were a couple of lines in the code that alluded to VR support in the future.
Okay. And that kind of stuff we see. I mean, if you want to see a really cool, I think it's Did You Know Gaming will sometimes cover a lot of like stuff that code that's just left in games sometimes. You know, and I think that's probably what that is that somebody was screwing around with it and they didn't take the code out when they shipped the final version of the code, right? Like,
sure.
But I mean, that's cool, and I think that they're messing around with it, they're trying things, but playing Splatoon 2 over LAN connection gives you built-in voice chat, a hint of what's to come. Okay, so I saw the headline for this, the voice chat. Okay, so what is our understanding of this?
Does this physically mean LAN Ethernet connections, or is this does this also include local Wi-Fi on the same router network?
My understanding, it is solely LAN connections, like wired LAN connections. So it creates an ad hoc voice chat network for you.
So there's maybe three households worldwide that could do this.
Well, they would have this for like local tournaments and stuff too, right? Like,
right. But I have a LAN adapter for my dock, but no, my kids don't. And you kind of need more than one device to make a LAN.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really like, it's kind of strange. Mm-hmm. Like why they would do that. And
of course, in handheld mode, you can't be on Ethernet.
Right. So I'm looking this up just because Zach raised the question. It's related to local connection where you're all connected to the same router and you press a button combination. I think it's L plus R plus left stick. It then uses the router in a LAN configuration. According to
that's the case, then Wi-Fi probably could do it.
According to NeoGAF user Peter Cobra, he tried this out in a pub game of Splatoon 2 last week. They said one of us had a microphone on his headphones, and the second we switched into LAN lobby, we heard what he was saying very loudly in our speakers.
Whoa, so the headphone jack. So it's not a head limitation of the hardware then? The headphone jack.
By doing so, they discovered that a LAN connection can give players built-in voice chat with no app required.
Okay, so wow. Okay,
that's why I put that in there about a hint of what's to come. I mean, like, what? Why is that in there?
But if you're on the same LAN, most likely you're in the same room and you don't need it.
But if you were doing esports and this was an event, right? And there's screaming crowds everywhere and everybody's got their headset.
That I can see.
I think that's probably what that's actually in there for. They don't want to support it for everything else, but they do want to support it for esports. So in other words, it's a conscious decision for them to hold this functionality back, is what that really means, mm-hmm. right? So
what I guess I'm wondering is, like, is this something that, like, when the paid subscription launches, they're all of a sudden they're going to go, oh, hey, look, here's, you don't have to have the app anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
as long as everyone's in the same.
You know house. What's crazy? And I'm just going to put an aside out there to say this. I work at a church. I bought a Switch for our student ministry this week and set it up as a new user. And when I registered as a new Nintendo account, it now takes you to a splash page that talks specifically about the Nintendo online service. It has this nice graphical interface. It would not let me take pictures of it, but basically it outlines how much it will be per month and per year. Huh. And then it says, but you can do this for free until 2018.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, like, you kind of opt into it. But, like, you know, when we set up our Switches, probably it didn't do that because that wasn't out yet. That stuff had not launched. So right. The system came with firmware 3.0 already on it. So this is definitely a new system that they have just, you know, made within the last couple of months.
Right.
So this is a new thing now. When you so they're going to lean heavily on the online stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
They're going to push for the subscriptions.
Yeah. So finally, the we'll see how that goes. The final thing here is that Miiverse, which of course is the social media thing that was built into both the Wii U and the 3DS, will officially be dead on November 8th. And we should note as well that you can currently go to the website and request your Miiverse history, and they will email you a link to download it all. So all of your sweet pictures that you drew on Miiverse or whatever, you can download them all.
All two of them
or whatever. All of your pictures of, I don't know, naughty bits. Whatever. I don't know. We'll see. But
have you guys ever looked at the Facebook group Bad Miiverse posts?
Oh yes. I'm actually gonna. It's one of the saddest parts of Miiverse going away is that that's gonna go away too.
It's the best.
That where like why doesn't Metroid Crawl came from?
Yes. Like a lot of things came from there.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, it's sad, but it's not sad. I'm not really, I don't know. I know a lot of people were really big into it. I was not that big into it. So
I wasn't.
Yeah. So
I wasn't either.
All right. So let's get into this.
I was in certain games that had it seamlessly integrated. You know, a very few times I would take a screenshot and post it. Normally, is if I'm stuck here in the hints. But you know, games like the New Super Mario Brothers, three D World is what I'm thinking of. That had good integration.
Yeah. So basically, let's get into this Nindies Direct here. Let's see if I can get the music. It was going to sound so cool, and then it's just going to show this. Where is it? Oh.
And you broke it.
There you go. That was Nintendo. That was way less cool than I was expecting it to be. It was going to sound so cool. Just today we had the Nindies Direct. If you go to Nintendo's YouTube channel, there's like over 20 trailers that were posted for PAX West. And that I think is really what this is all sort of coinciding with, right? Is that PAX West is this weekend, right? Is that right?
Right now. So. It's going on right now.
And
isn't it?
So Nintendo is there showing off all sorts of nindies, all sorts of independent games and stuff like that. So they showed off a bunch in the Direct. There's even more trailers. I don't know if maybe what I'll do is I'll read off this list of game trailers on their website or on the YouTube page. And very quickly, I think the best way to do it is if you remember any of it, anything about it, maybe say what you have to say about it. This isn't in order that it was on the Direct. This is on the order in their website or on their YouTube stream playlist thing. So we'll go through these. So the first one here. Is Super Meat Boy Forever. Thoughts about this one? This one is actually a sequel to Super Meat Boy, which I was actually a little bit surprised about. This is totally like a sequel to the game. Coming to Switch first, I believe, right? Is that correct? Okay. What are you guys thoughts about this?
In my notes, I was sure to mention if it's Switch exclusive or first coming to Switch every time I mentioned it.
This is one of the ones that I took out a post-it note along with a couple of guys from our line chat, and they were writing down on post-it notes which ones they liked, and I was like, that's a really good idea. Super Meat Boy is near the top of my list. Like, I loved Super Meat Boy. I played the original on Xbox 360, and it's one of those games that, like, it's super frustrating, but it suffers from a case of one more time. All right, one more time. Because, like, you die. And
15
and
it's more so times.
It's so quick to bring you back into the game. Because, like, you know, it's – and then when you beat it, you have this, like, trail of Meat Boys following you. But one thing that I thought was very interesting that came out in this trailer about this game was it said – it's called Super Meat Boy Forever, and Damon Baker, who's the host of the Nindies and everything, he said, and you can keep playing it forever, because now the levels will get more difficult when you beat them. So like every time you go back through them, the levels change and they add more hazards and challenge you to beat them all over again.
So it's kind of like a, I mean, if this is the way that I think it is, it's like a nice mix between like well-designed levels, but also some procedural generation, right? So like, what you don't want in, especially in a platformer, is a game that is entirely procedurally generated, because then the level design isn't that great, right? Like you can't actually, whereas like if the AI is simply adding more difficult things to it every time, that's a little bit better. And if they're saying that you can do that, like, is that actually what's happening? Or is it just that there's like four different versions of each level and they're more difficult each time? I don't know. But we'll have to
see. It's like a wait and see thing.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out when, like, when the game comes out. Like, one person compares the second level of second version of the first stage. Someone else does the same thing. See if it's the same or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So What's it rated? It is rated. Yeah. It's not rated yet. It says it's launching in 2018.
It's going to be an M-rated game.
Is it just because he's meat? I mean,
when he's meat and when he gets hit by those, he's like raw meat. So oh, like,
yeah. right,
and he
right.
gets like hit or something, like blood goes flying everywhere.
It's actually rated T.
Really?
But it's like cartoon.
So says the Nintendo website.
If like he dies and then you come back, like you see where you died and there's like parts of him spinning on these saw blades and.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, and even enemies die, you know, they create blood splatter as well.
It's kind of like a humorous kind of thing. I mean, it's not like a real life looking cartoon dog got sent through a chainsaw and it did blood. You know,
no, it's like like a water balloon full of red paint. Right. Is like the effect. Yeah,
yeah. On the Switch screen, the character is going to be like half a centimeter square.
Yeah.
So all it does is just go, he's kind of vanish and they have red.
Yeah.
In his place. Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you expect from a game where you have characters named Meat Boy, Bandage Girl, Doctor Fetus, and Nugget? Their baby is named Nugget.
Seriously. So, out of the four of us, like, who's here is interested in this one? For sure. Jesse, what about you?
No.
No. Jacob?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like gory things, but I'll have to.
It's so cartoony that it's not too bad.
Yeah, it really is.
I did buy the original Super Meat Boy on Steam, and then watching the trailer, the level of gore is similar. So just watch a video, and then you can make your own decision. But
it looks fun.
It's comedic gore. You know, it's not. Like it's Mortal not Kombat like
it's and it's and it's not as bad as like a shoot, I just blanked on it. What's the poop game in the Zelda?
Binding of Isaac.
There you go.
Oh that's yeah, yeah.
It's not like that. It's not
that. Yeah, it's nowhere near that level. Yeah. Nowhere near that level.
So
but I may get it.
Yeah. So next up we have here again, this is just on their playlist here. Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes. Showed nothing.
It goes from the first game to the last game from the showcase.
I know, right? It's weird. This list is all over the place on their website, but yeah. I want to make sure that we get all of these through. Although, you know what? Actually, I'm calling an audible. We're going to go back to the way it was. Let's go on the list, on your list, Jesse, because that's in the direct. I changed my mind. Okay, so the next one here, they talked about the Nindies at Night showcase thing. They're doing a live stream. That's cool. Go check that out. Next up, Shovel Knight King of Cards, coming early 2018. This is the final chapter of the Shovel Knight game series, and you can travel through four new worlds, 30 new courses to discover how King Knight ascended to the throne and became one of the Order of No Quarter, coming in early 2018. They showed that this was interesting because it looks like they actually have a new card game mechanic in the game. Like if you watch the actual thing, which I thought was really cool. I bought the treasure trove. I already have it. So I'm going to get it anyways. Like I don't even have to pay for it. Right.
Right. Same here. And if you have ever played any of the last like couple of years of Skylanders games, this looks very, very similar to the card game or the board game, like mini game that's in those called Skystones.
Yeah.
You know, that takes different characters from the game and adds certain amounts of arrows to the sides of their card. And then they can defeat enemies based on that. And it's been grid based, but it's also been, they've done it in a different way where it's like, almost like a table where you like line up your cards on each side.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I've mainly have played those games with my son. So that's been like a little fun diversion, but I mean, I don't know if this is like the way they talked about it was so brief. I don't know if the card aspect of it is going to be an integral part of the game that you have to do to finish it, or if it's just going to be like a diversion, like
the,
a little side
thing. I mean, the title of the whole thing is King of Cards though. Right. So that's where I'm like, oh, maybe that's it true. Is a little bit more there.
If you have to beat all the bosses by playing cards.
Oh, geez. It's like, it's
Yu-Gi-Oh!
It'll remind me
Paper Mario.
Yeah, or the oh geez. I was gonna say Pokemon the trading card game for game.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Which actually was not that bad of a game. I thought that was kind of fun. So
actually was good.
Yeah, so my mouse is dying, by the way, which is always an awesome thing. That's why the what I get for using a Bluetooth mouse. So I don't know. I'm gonna be getting this regardless because I have Treasure Trove already, so next one up is called Mom Hid My Game, which, where is it on the thing here? So I'll just read the thing here. Mom Hid My Game. You know what? We specifically said we weren't going to go through all of them, and now we got sucked into
it. We're going through all of them. Yeah.
Okay. So did anybody actually look at this one?
This game looks like garbage.
It really does.
I'm confused as to what it is. The only thing I know is it's coming on the 3DS and the Switch.
It's so like they're trying to make it this big thing. They're like, Mom hid your game and you've got to use all your skills to find where your game is. And then like one of the games is
a crocodile on the screen at that point. Like
tap on the crocodile and he opens his mouth.
Why would your mom put your game inside a crocodile's mouth? Yeah. What kind of mother does this?
I need to see a lot more about this game for it to be.
Why do you even have a crocodile?
Yeah.
Well, and like one of the puzzles is you making the kid stick a broom handle underneath a dresser and knock the game out from underneath there.
It seems really weird.
The art style is super creepy.
Stupid.
Chris White says it's on iOS and it's fantastic.
Really?
Oh, really?
Okay.
It seems silly.
It seems very like I need to see more about it, but I don't know if he says it's good, then maybe I'll. Oh, see, I hate it when that happens when you're like, "Wow, this looks like garbage," and then somebody says it's good, and you're like, "Crap!" Now do I trust them or not?
Now I've got to go look it up. Thanks a lot.
It's a game that to me looks like if you're bored, you can pass the time while you're waiting to go to the into the dentist or something. It's not. It's not a game I'm going to buy. And just
like
sit
a
at
digital
home and
escape
play.
Room.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Actually, that's a really interesting way of describing that. So I don't know. We'll see how that one goes. The next one, when I was watching through it, this one was really interesting. Golf Story, which is a cross between an RPG and a golf game, with where it's got all of the stats and everything. Yeah. This one, I actually like in watching it, I was like, oh man, this looks good.
I think everyone that I've talked to so far has been intrigued on this game.
Yeah. Here's where I make no friends on this podcast. You people who play golf video games are a special breed of I don't understand you.
So here's the deal is that
I don't get it. I'm sure it's fun, but like I downloaded a golf game an app on my phone the other day, and it's like called Endless Golf or something like that, and it is the most terrible.
A lot of the newer, like the mobile-based golf games are horrible. But you know, I remember playing like golf games on the NES, and those were pretty good.
Like I guess it's just that like the game of golf. I don't now if it was like Mini Golf Story.
No, there's mini golf in this game though. That's the thing.
But I'm worried that it's just like a mini game. Or it's just a side quest. I don't want to play real golf. I want to hit the ball through the hippo's mouth, have it come out its back, roll down a magical candy sprinkle hill, and go in the hole. And I want to get experience points for that.
Yeah. Out of context, that's the most unusual sentence I've ever heard.
I was going to say, I think I might go back and cap that. So I will say that my history with golf games, one of the few games that I had early on with the Game Boy was golf for the Game Boy. And that was actually a pretty fun game. And so I do enjoy a golf game now and then. But yeah, so
I had a choice between that and tennis on the original Game Boy, and I wish I had gotten golf.
I'm
being honest, and that's after I've thrown golf games under the bus totally and completely.
By the way, this game is coming out next month, so that is that's pretty awesome. So
there's a lot of these games that are coming out in September.
Yeah. So
I was very surprised.
I'm surprised that these September games, they weren't able to narrow down a more specific day, considering there's only like 8 possible days that they'd be releasing these things on.
Yeah. So that's Golf Story. I'm excited for that. I think I'll definitely try that out. The next one is Floor Kids, which is a breakdancing game. It's got like a weird hand-drawn art style.
You're not going to read my note?
Jesse's note said, the breakdancing game you never wanted. I don't know what the deal is with this. So this is this rhythm based action game. This is from the press release. This rhythm based action game lets players bust out fresh moves, earn respect, and recruit dancers through a variety of locations. Play the single player or multiplayer modes, either with traditional or touchscreen controls. So I don't know. It's coming in holiday.
I was watching the direct and this game came up. And I don't how do you control it? Like, what is the point? Is it like to have the best break dancing routine?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's
I'm kind of intrigued, but not $20 intrigued. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the question. And I'll have to see more about it because it's either going to be.
I was lifting weights at the gym actually, and so I was like watching, listening, and I heard this come on, and it was like, I thought PBS turned on my phone for a minute. I was like, what the heck? I'm not impressed with this.
I'll see. I mean, it could be, if it's a rhythm game, if it's a good rhythm game, then maybe it'll be, good. But, we'll see. I'm holding out for this. I need more information. I don't know. It could go either way for me right now. Wolverblade is the next one here. I gotta refresh my memory on this one. Wolverblade.
This is the one that is it's side scrolling beat 'em up like Golden Axe and things like that. But it's actually real places and people from the history of Britannia. It's like how Britain became a country. The history of it.
Is it wannabe edutainment?
No, it actually looks pretty good.
Yeah. So, okay. I see what this is. Okay. It looks like a clunkier version of Golden Axe, though, is the thing, which is saying something for Golden Axe, really.
that's a pretty clunky game to start with.
But it's, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not too. Looking at it, it's got a really cool art style, but I'm not sure how excited I am about that one. Polybridge is the next one, which is a physics-based bridge-building puzzle game, Switch exclusive, coming holiday 2017. This game looks like something that will be really fun, but also looks like it's probably not going to be very much, right? Like, I don't know if I'm going to spend a lot of money on this game, but...
Yeah, this one kind of interests me, but then I think back and I didn't really dig World of Goo.
And this one looks like it's even less.
But Jesse, listen, let's be honest. World of Goo did not have a catapult that a car drives into and you fling it across a chasm so that you can complete the level.
World of Goo crossed Angry Birds.
That was the very last shot of the trailer, was this blue hatchback car flying across a chasm flung out of a catapult.
Huh.
I must have missed that while I was typing up notes.
I really like the art style of this game too. So
yeah, it seems cool. It's like a I don't know. It goes my concern about this game is that it alternates between two very different what's the flow of the game like? Like in World of Goo, you had very specific, like it was all one thing where you were building and trying to do it all at once. Whereas this one is like, all right, build everything and then switch to see if it worked and then go back. Like there's a lot of back and forth, it seems like, which could disrupt the flow of the game, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Next one is Kentucky Route Zero TV Edition. Is this something that I should know about this game? Because
because like tons of people flipped out about this when it got announced.
It sounded like this was like, you know, I've never heard of this either, but it sounds like it's like a new game in a series of which I've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. Chris White says yes in all caps.
Oh, okay. Well,
here's the thing. Like, I see the hype and I see like people flipping out about it, but then they didn't show us enough to make me go, okay, that's why it's so beloved.
Yeah.
You know, like that's why there's so much hype. Like it looked like a really cool atmospheric game. It kind of reminded me of like a backwoods redneck Out of This World. You know, like that old game, Out of This World or Another World. I don't know what like the name changed on it for a while.
Yeah, it's had several names.
It had like that kind of that art style.
Yeah.
Or kind of look to it. But that's on my list. That's one of the ones on my list because just for some reason, like there was a moment in that trailer where they were showing a map of Kentucky and there were like actual roads on there. And I was like, hey, I know that road. I know where
my grandpa lives on that road. Yeah.
And like, there was a description that I saw about you meet a character whose brother is a giant eagle.
Oh, wow.
And there's robot musicians and all kinds of other stuff. So it's like, there's a lot more to it than the surface.
Chris White says it's a point and click game. The first act came out on PC in 2013.
Wow. Okay. All right. I can dig that. Next up is Earth Atlantis, coming fall 2017. First to Switch. This is the weird black and white sort of. It looks like Leonardo da Vinci manuscript things. I don't know if the diagrams and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
I wasn't very impressed by this one.
I'm not really a big fan of the Steam World or the steampunk aesthetic. I think I've said that before on the show. And so that kind of turned me off of this game too. But I mean, hey, who knows? It could be good. The next one is called Next Up Hero. And this one, it's a roguelike, right? But what are your guys' thoughts on this one? Was it cool? Was it?
I don't remember the other game it reminded me of, but yeah, it's like, you know, you play when you die, your next spawn, when it reaches where you died, that it becomes kind of like a ghost. So
it follows
the more
you around,
die,
yeah.
The bigger your army ends up becoming.
Yeah. It looks maybe pretty cool. I like the art style. I like the, you know, I mean, it's very colorful and, you know, Justin would love it. He loves the colors. I give him crap about that, but he, you know, like it's very colorful and it's fun. It looks really cool. It comes out in Q1 2018. I don't know. It looks kind of cool. I was interested in this one. The character design is all really nifty too. So, lots of variety there. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts? Anybody else interested in this one? It's got a co-op Joy-Con mode too, which is cool.
So,
not I don't think it's my thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking this is probably a pass for me.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Well, you know what? I think it looks amazeballs is what I think. So we'll see. Anyways, next up, speaking of that, SteamWorld Dig 2 is coming. Speaking of amazeballs, 21st of September is SteamWorld Dig 2, coming first to the Switch. And this game, you know, I want to be excited about this. I played the original, right? SteamWorld Dig 1 was really, you know, it was, you know, some people like went so far as to say it was incredible, right? Like, which I mean, sure, but I don't know if I necessarily got that same amount of love out of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I remember playing through it. I remember finishing it, but I don't know any of the details. So it wasn't necessarily memorable, but I enjoyed it enough to keep playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So
I'll be checking the second one out.
Yeah, it seems like it could be interesting, right?
Hell, I even played through Heist, and that's normally not my type of game.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. What about you, Marty? This seems like one that you're jazzed for.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely in for Dig 2. As like I played SteamWorld Dig, and I don't know that I got all that far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those games that, like, I was thinking about this the other day because playing Donkey Kong 64 made me pull my Wii U back out again. And I realized how many games I have on there that I like started and went, yeah, oh, this is a great game. And then another game came along and it just got put on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have to get Dig on the 3DS.
Yeah,
just the original one, just to play it. And that's why I love that it's on Switch, because, again, it's going to be able to come with me.
Yep.
And yeah, just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Image and Form stuff, though, I like. I love their aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it looks interesting for sure. So the next one up here, we've got Mulaka, which is coming in early 2018. Switch will get exclusive features. And this one is... which one are we here? This is the, what the, oh, okay.
This was the one with the rock monsters.
And it's like paper. And it kind of looks like this weird paper craft thing almost, like,
yeah. And I want to be honest with you that when, like, this trailer was coming on and I was watching it the whole time, I was going, yes, yes, yes. Like that. This is seriously, Mulaka was one of the highlights of the whole Nindies Direct for me.
Okay.
I'm super hyped for that game, and I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know how I can be out of a 30-second preview, but it just looks spot on. And maybe it's just because it looks different. You know, it looks different than things that are out there, and I don't know. It looks very well put together.
I think I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch this whole thing, because when I watched it the first time, I was in a note-taking mood, so my memories are. You know, each individual trailer is almost non-existent, other than what little I wrote about it.
Wow. Just, wow. Okay, so here's the thing about this that I'm noticing. Like, it looks cool. All I have to say about this guy's run, though, in the trailer, I don't know if you noticed how terrible his run is. It's like,
yeah, it's a little strange.
He's got like this weird, like, like that's his run. Which is,
we need to save that as an animated GIF.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we need to.
Right, but that's what he looks like in the trailer. Like, go back and watch it. And he's just like his shoulders, for some reason, he's got like a shimmy going on. I don't know. It's weird. But you're right, though. The visual style is very cool. I like it. Kind of. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Sorry. Wow. I probably could have like muted my mic when I did that. It's getting late. But you're looking forward to it.
I'm
talking about it. It's like, not even midnight yet.
I'm happy that you're happy. I don't know that one made me a little bored when I was watching it, but that's okay. I mean, different strokes, right? Next one here is, sorry, do you have something to add there, Jacob?
No, I agree with you. Okay. It looked a little boring to me.
Yeah. The next one here, Yono and the, what is this? Celestial Elephants. Wow.
Yeah.
The logo had Yono in huge letters, and the Celestial Elephant was a tiny print. So most people probably didn't even notice that was in the title.
Yono, that's what I say when I'm going to go out, surfboarding.
I want this game so bad. Words cannot express how much I want that tiny elephant game.
Look at it, it's so cute.
What?
Oh, you know what? I think I missed this part of the direct. I must have fallen asleep or something in the direct. Actually, I was also trying to be productive and make it look like I wasn't watching this.
Look, if this, seriously, that elephant. I need that elephant to just follow me around.
I want a plushie of this elephant. Oh my gosh, it's got skins. They've got skins in this game that you collect. Yeah, no, I want it. It looks cool. Very cool. I don't have a problem with that. That looks pretty nifty. It depends how much it is, I guess, right? Yono and the Celestial Elephants. Cool.
Every time we play something like that, it kind of breaks up your voice on our end on this. But even
you know what,
I'm sure it'll sound fine in this.
I was gonna say, you know what it probably is that I'm watching trailers in Skype or in Safari, and whenever there's sound, it probably mutes it for Skype, but it's recording it, so we'll
it'll sound fine. It just kind of partly explanation for the YouTube viewers to
my apologies to you.
What's going on?
So next up we've got a dragon marked for death. So I don't know if I remember this one. What do we have for this one? Does anybody remember this one?
I don't remember that one.
Dragon Mark for Death. This is the NT Creates game where it's a role playing beat 'em up where you can play one or four players.
Their website, like the Nintendo, so Nintendo has like the press release, and then they all of them have different things, like different whatever here, and they're not showing any sort of. Did they even show screenshots? Like it's coming in.
Yeah, they had a video of it during the direct.
Yeah, they did.
What the crap, man? I don't want to have to search for it. It's going to take way too long. But it, like you say, you're saying it looks good.
Yeah, I mean it's got that that kind of NT Creates sprite based art, really very detailed, you know. But
I'm seeing it now.
Each of the characters that you play has a different class, and you know, like you can have a witch or you can have a warrior. Or, different things like that. So, I mean, it's typical fantasy stuff. 2D, side-scrolling dungeon beat-em-up cooperative game.
It looks pretty good.
And that's cool because we need more of those for the Switch. Well, what I meant was like four-player on screen at the same time, being able to play. Like, you know, here's I've got three friends over. Here's some Joy-Cons. Let's play this. Let's have a good time.
Yeah. No, I actually do agree with you. That game actually looks like a better delivery on that Golden Axe sort of idea that you were talking about before. That game looks more enjoyable
less clunky.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks a little bit smoother. It actually, the art style, shoot, what's that? What was that game called? Game Gold? I see my brain isn't working.
Coldcept? Is that what you're thinking about?
No, it was a game that was on the Wii. Muramasa Demon Blade is actually what it kind of reminds me of a little bit. I don't know if you played that, but anyways.
Not.
So yeah, it looks interesting. Last few here. What do we got here? Battle Chef Brigade looks like a match 3 game. Because I don't know. Looks like it could be
fun. The match 3 game is during the cooking aspect of the game. The other part of the game is like a 2D side-scrolling RPG hunt for ingredients. You go out and you kill monsters to harvest ingredients to then come back and cook.
Interesting.
Different.
Okay. I don't know.
Like the up close shots, like the cinematics and everything. Like I was like, oh man, I really like that art style. And then it showed the gameplay, and I was like, oh. It's very stiff looking, and
Never mind.
The characters have weird proportions. And
Okay, so this next one, I want to get to this next one because the concept of this game and the early sort of pieces that I have of this, I love the concept. I really do not like the art style and the art direction of this game. It's called Morphe's Law. It's a 4v4 third person shooter game. And it is actually, it seems like, you know, how Splatoon kind of took that third person shooter genre and did some totally new, game mode for it that just blew up and it was awesome with Turf War. That's what this looks like here. It seems like it's so weird. And my guess, honestly, is that this is probably going to be a very, like, I don't know how well balanced this game is going to be. It's an indie game. It looks really, like, I love the concept, though, where you, like, shoot the person in the head, and that makes your head grow and theirs shrink. And then, like, your whole body gets bigger and bigger. And so then you can, you, as you get bigger, then you can only fit into certain areas of the map. So if you're bigger, then you can't go into the building that your enemy can get in, go into anymore. Ooh. Right. And
then your smaller enemy can go in and shoot you from the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
And so, and then depending on your team's collective mass, then that's represented by your avatar, team's avatar, and the bigger avatar wins and whatever, right?
Like, I want to know what kind of drugs the people who came up with are doing.
It's so weird, right?
Like, imagine being in this pitch meeting. So it's a first person, it's a four player shooter, but when you shoot the other team, they shrink and you grow. And only in certain parts, if you shoot them in the head, your head grows. If you shoot them in the butt, you get a really big butt.
And somehow, like, they should, like.
So that's how the Kardashians are made.
Yeah. Oh, man. But okay. So what's your take on this, Marty? Like, you play Overwatch.
I'm right? in.
Right? Like, totally it's so weird. This. It's such a weird game.
Like, because here's the thing is, like, this is one of those games that I look at it and, you know, we were talking about earlier in the mailbag about Nintendo games, you know, like what sets them apart. This is like a Nintendo game. There's no way that this would work or fly on any other system.
Yeah.
And I know, like I said, it's exclusive. And like, here's the thing. It looked extremely fluid, you know, like the characters moving around and everything, the actual gameplay of it. And I think it's going to be one that people are going to sleep on and they're going to miss it because they're going to look at it and they're going to go,
because it's not a very pretty game, right? Like, that's the thing that I'm noticing. It's made in Unreal.
We've seen one map.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be fair. And we've seen one map and things that kind of look like Titans from Attack on Titan.
Yeah, that's true.
Shooting each other and shrinking and growing. People are going to go, right. And then it's going to blow up and it's going to be huge. It's going to have like a cult following, you know, type thing. It looks like a lot of fun, just being honest. I mean, the fact that your tactics and your weapons change depending on how big certain body parts are.
I'm watching this trailer again and there was a guy whose legs were completely tiny and then the arms are just flailing like this as he's running.
And he flies off the edge.
Yeah.
So it's like he couldn't stop himself.
Oh my gosh. This looks like such a weird game. I'm totally all in on this game. I don't know.
It was actually on my list.
Was it?
As well. Oh, yeah.
Looks so.
I hope there's just a demo. It looks interesting.
It looks. Yeah. It looks so silly. I love it. And so.
Speaking of silly, the next game on the list is ridiculous.
Sausage Sports Club.
Even the name.
I think it is
literally about elongated animals. I mean, I can't even talk about it without laughing.
No relation to Sausage Party.
It is not about, like, it's not just about wiener dogs. It's like chickens and elephants and all kinds of other things that have been, like, super stretched out, and they're competing on a reality show playing sports.
Is this made by the same people as Octodad? Because I'm pretty sure this screenshot has Octodad in it.
It may be.
It is made by developer Luckshot Games. Maybe
who made Octodad?
I don't know, but it sure as heck looks like Octodad in this screenshot.
I'm looking it up right now. Young Horses made Octodad.
Okay.
Maybe he's just appearing there.
Yeah.
But dude, this Sausage Sports thing looks amazing.
Looks very silly.
And that's the thing. Like that's what I'm in for. Like, give me this game. That I can sit down and play with my kids, because that looks like something that we can all sit down and do, like couch co-op play.
Yep.
With and just have like a roaringly good time. I'm going to tell you what it looks like to me is it looks a lot like Gang Beasts that has supposedly been coming to PS4 for so long. And my son has been all about Gang Beasts ever since he saw the first video of it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever going to come out.
So that's that one. We just got a couple more here. Light Fingers. That was my wrestling name in high school. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
It's getting late. Okay.
This game looks amazing. I was it's on my list. I'm psyched.
Dude, you got so many games on you. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know.
Like, this list right here is like $400.
Nice.
Dang.
Terrible. Expensive lists.
But like, no, this is what it's, they call it a board game. And like, you manipulate different parts in one room and it opens another part of the board up. And then you can go in there and do that. And it'll like flip over another part in the room you've already been. So think like Monument Valley for iOS.
Yeah.
Except they literally call it, you know, like play it in tabletop mode. And it's just like a board game, except you can hand the Joy-Cons out to people and you can all play at once.
I like the art style. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's that one. That is coming when? What do we got here?
Early 2018.
I got too many tabs open here and starting to lag. Next one is called Nine Parchments. Local and online 4-player co-op, and it's coming holiday. What do we know about this one?
It's almost like a dungeon crawler shoot 'em up.
Okay.
All of your characters are like wizards in training that are sent out to battle monsters.
Okay.
And so all of them have these like spells that they shoot out and stuff. So it's not like a beat 'em up. It's a shoot 'em up.
Mm. Cool.
It looks really good. The graphics are really cool. Visuals, yeah. Amazing.
And that's,
I thought this holiday one would probably be right up Jesse's alley.
I'd have to look at it again. I don't remember much about this. As I said, I was in note-taking mode when the video was on, so not all of it sunk in.
Cool. Finally, the last one here is, of course, No More Heroes. The one there, basically, it was nothing more than a mood trailer, like a teaser. It was just to show, like, yeah, this is still the same thing. Suda 51 is still a crazy, crazy man who's going to give us weird stuff.
Is he going to make more translators cry?
Yeah, probably. Oh my gosh, dude. I forgot about that. But it's nice to know that he's been hard at work, you know, getting all this. And single-handedly ripping off the Stranger Things logo as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's actually two games that were announced this week that I would kind of add this in that I want to mention. They weren't part of this list on the Nintendo site, but they are part of what's going on. WMD has been announced for Switch, which I'm thrilled about because I freaking love Worms. And I mean, it's what you expect. It's Worms. You know, if you've played that before, you know, squad-based shooting sheep, exploding sheeps and holy hand grenades and all those things. And then Nicholas sent us an email about a game called Save Me, Mr. Taco, Tasukete Taco-san, which is a love letter to Game Boy era 2D side-scrollers. Oh, so it looks like it's on the Game Boy. It looks like Kirby. But it is about a octopus that saves a girl from danger.
Interesting.
What? And oh, it looks lantern. Amazing.
That is amazing.
And it's out this year.
And
it's
what's it called? What's it called?
2017. Save Me, Mr. Taco. T-A-K-O. Tasukete Taco-san.
I just found the email.
What was that game that came out last year by the Runbow people? Or at least it was released by the Runbow people. That was also a Game Boy game.
Oh, Pirate Pop?
Pirate Pop, that's the one.
Yeah,
that was... I love it.
This reminded me a lot, like just watching the video, reminded me a lot of Kirby. Mm. For the Game Boy versions of Kirby, especially.
I will tell you the one problem I have with this game is that it... it's playing fast and loose with the Game Boy thing. They've got blue Game Boy stuff, red.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like Game Boy Color, like four colors.
Yeah, but that's not how the Game Boy Color did it. The Game Boy Color would like change the sprites based on like there was sort of.
Actually, let me back up. That's what the Super Game Boy did. The Super Game Boy added in four colors.
Okay.
because that's, you know, the Game Boy showed four colors of gray.
Right. Okay.
So very that's cool. How it made things okay. Color.
Okay. All right. So that is, that's all of it though, dude. There's a lot of games there.
Yeah.
Hopefully this was good for everybody. So let's just say like your top two. What are we saying for? Also, Wargroove also was announced Q1 2018. So that's another one that we didn't talk about here, but is on their website. I would say, like, as far as ones that I'm actively looking forward to that are coming up soon, I'm going to say Golf Story because it's coming soon, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. And I don't want to say Mom Hid My Game. I just saw that one again, though. this looks so dumb. And okay, so I'm gonna say Golf Story and Morphe's Law. Morphe's Law, I'm so excited for. It looks so dumb. What about you, Marty?
Sausage Sports Club and does it have to just be two?
Fine, dang. You can have three.
Can I have three? Sausage Sports Club, Morphe's Law, and Yono and the Ethereal Elephants or whatever it is.
Ethereal Elephants.
Celestial.
Celestial. Celestial Ethereal, it's the same thing.
It's all the same business. Right on. What about you, Jacob?
I guess that No More Heroes game looked pretty interesting to me. I never played the first one, but that second one looked, that one I liked the trailer. And I guess potentially Meat Boy, you know, I mean, we talked about it. It looked fun. Definitely looked fun. I'll definitely look into it. So out of all of them, probably those two would be the top two.
Cool.
I'm looking at.
What about you, Jesse?
I think Golf Story and Dig 2 for sure. And then Nine Parchments, maybe. I'm going to have to go back and look at that trailer.
Cool. Right on. All right, so that is the Nindies Showcase. Hopefully everybody enjoyed that. We're going to quickly get into what we've been playing, and then we'll round out the show. All right, so very quickly, I actually want to get a couple of things out of the way here because I don't think it's going to take too long. So first thing is Sonic Mania. I beat the main campaign, or the main sort of, I saw the end credits, I should say, and that game is really, really fun, especially for the price that it's at. It's it is the best Sonic game since the originals, like Sonic and Knuckles and all those games. Really, really like that game and would recommend it to anybody. The one thing I will say is that the end boss... I don't know if you've beat it yet, Marty. It was a little bit of it was a little disappointing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Just because I remember and my main Sonic game growing up was Sonic 2, right? Mm-hmm. Where you knew that you were on the last level. Like there was no question that this was the final boss of the whole game because in Sonic 2, it's like you're in freaking space and there's this huge robot that comes after you.
You're in the death egg.
Yeah, in the death egg. And it's clear as day that this is the end boss.
You didn't think he was the end boss, did you?
I had no idea. All of a sudden, all of a sudden there was credits. And I was like, oh.
That sucks.
Okay.
And just to be honest about this, about that boss, if it weren't for the little extra parts that pop up during that, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but the extra...
like you're teleporting
add-ins to the fight.
Sure.
It would be really underwhelming.
Yes. Yeah. And if you don't have the background with the Sonic franchise to know what they're actually doing, like they're referencing, right. Then you may not even appreciate what it is either. It just may seem like, oh, that's a weird thing for them to do. Why are they doing that? But it's all because these are all bosses from old games and, from the history of the Sonic the Hedgehog. So, this whole game is a love letter to Sonic fans, right? So it's no surprise there, but.
Including one of the characters shown, I remember seeing in videos actually was in like the Master System version of Sonic 2. So it wasn't even in the Mega Drive version.
Yeah, so wow. it's a real deep cut. Yeah, so I mean, it was still really fun, and I'm going through now. I think the only other criticism that I have of this game is the bonus levels, specifically the ones where you're collecting on the grid, right? On the checkered grid one with the where you're rolling through and then like you hit the bumper or you hit the red ball and you're dead, right? Those happen way too often in this game, where to the point where I'm avoiding them most of the time because I'm not very good at them. And yes, I want to collect those little coins because I'm sure they unlock things, but I'm not good enough at those levels to actually unlock anything most of the time.
Here's the deal. The game, for all that it does right, is really terrible about telling you what those bonus levels are for or what those coins are for. It's just like, oh, I got a silver coin. Awesome.
And not only that, but they're frankly too hard sometimes.
Well, and then there was like, I guess I did one or did a few, and it's like, oh, you got the drop dash, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but there's no documentation on how to do the drop dash. And then there's another one. It's like, you got the such and such from Sonic CD. I don't know how to use that. I mean, you know, I mean, it's been a minute right. since I played Sonic CD.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Help me out here.
So it's a bit challenging to know exactly what all that is, but I mean, I still freaking love this game. Like I'm going to keep playing it. I'll probably end up playing it through at a second time with Knuckles. Like I'll play that whole game again with Knuckles. And then I don't know if I'll play it all the way through as Tails. Tails is kind of like, you know, I don't know, not nearly as cool as Sonic and Knuckles,
yeah.
But I do really, really like Sonic Mania. So, I've been playing that. We also got a review code for a game that's coming out tomorrow, called League of Evil. And, initially, like, I think this is on a bunch of other platforms. I think it's on, iOS. It is, you know, I initially, when I started playing this game, I was like, and I remember you guys even in the line chat thinking, oh man, like this game is, you know, maybe thinking that it's not all that great. I actually kind of figured it out. The one thing in this game that really changes how you play it is when you embrace the double jump in this, and it's coming out tomorrow. I think I'm not actually sure how much it's going to cost. What they're charging for it, but it is.
I'll check in a minute.
It's similar to, like, I would say it's in the same sort of realm as like a Super Meat Boy, where you're trying to navigate these levels and you die and you very quickly come back to life and all that sort of stuff. It's actually, I really started to enjoy it. You just need to understand that the double jump is absolutely like critical. In like that is how they have designed these levels, is that you can't just get anywhere with just a regular jump. You have to embrace the double jump, and it's kind of your way of actually maneuvering through all the levels. So it's, you know, like I said, Super Meat Boy is probably the best comparison I can make if you've seen that before. And you go through the levels, you just try and survive, you know, collect the, and it's, it will assign you a score out of 3 stars, and it's pretty difficult to get 3 stars on a level. Like, you've got to be super fast. But I think for the price they're paying for, I don't think it's that expensive. And
right, so I know the price. What price do you think it should be?
Well, I'm in Canadian dollars as well.
Convert it down to US then.
I would say it'd be under 10 for sure. So
yes,
what is it?
$7.99.
Oh yeah, for $7.99, right? Like there's tons and tons of levels. So for $7.99, if you're looking for like a little platformer, challenging type game, it's actually pretty good for that price. It
sounds like it can have user created levels be imported in as well, based on what I heard on Twitter.
Yeah, and like I haven't had a ton of opportunity to really download a bunch of those, but it's, you know, for $8, you can actually get quite a bit of time out of it. And so If you like that kind of thing, I mean, go and watch the trailer. You'll know right away if it's the kind of game for you, but it's not bad. I actually have been really enjoying it right now. So that's the other one. As well as Pokken Tournament, the demo came out. And, you know, it's Pokken Tournament. If you haven't played it, then, you know, it's on the Wii U. This demo, you could play as, what was it, Charizard, Pikachu, and the new Pokemon Empoleon. And it was, you know, it is what it is. It's fun. It's
It's Pokken Tournament.
It's Pokken Tournament, yep.
If you've played it before, you know what you're going to get.
And if you don't, it's Tekken with Pokemon.
Although, this is was really a kind of a cheap, crappy demo for Nintendo to put out. I mean, yeah, like, especially you get because 15 battles.
Well, because the whole point behind, or the whole thing behind the Switch demos was that they weren't limiting the plays, and now they just nuke the demo when you...
Yeah, so, but, I mean, it's easily remedied by deleting the demo and re-downloading it, but seriously.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. So that is all I've been playing. Now, Jacob, what about you, man? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Donkey Kong Country 3. If you know me, I'm kind of obsessed with Donkey Kong, like I've said in our last episode. But I had this dream last year. I got a new 3DS for Christmas, finally got an upgrade one, and I was like, you know what? I want to replay every Donkey Kong game in order from starting from Country to Land to Country 2 to Land 2 to Country 3 to Land 3. And, well, I made it about halfway through Country 2 and Land 2. Because I just beat Country and Country 2 last year for the first time, actually. I finally, like, gave up on that dream and just jumped up to Country 3 because my friends kept giving me a harsh time because it was the only one I never played for how much I love Donkey Kong. I never had beaten Country 3. So I've been playing that, but I've stopped for a little bit now because I picked up a beautiful little game yesterday. I was running around a lot before work, and I played a lot last night. You may notice that I have this special figurine here. Nice. Of a rabbit dressed up as Mario. And Mr. Marty should have one fairly
tomorrow.
Soon. Tomorrow. Tennessee.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, I know. Hey, what can I say? I'm made of dough, right? So it's Mario Rabbids is awesome. Zach, I know you said you're on the fence about it, but you know what? I want to tell you, don't worry about it. It is great. We just talked about Donkey Kong 64, and that's a rare game. And rare games are my favorite time with Nintendo. Country games, especially Banjo-Kazooie, is my number one game of all time. This game, to me, feels like Rare back on Nintendo. It feels like an old-style Rare game. The music, the humor, just the cleverness of it. You know, it's a different kind of gameplay than I'm used to playing. I'm not a big fan of, like, RPGs and stuff. I know it has some kind of elements of that in there, but the more I play, the more it shows me new tactics I can do that I think, like, oh, whoa, like, that was really cool. Like, I thought it's very unique when you can, like, go so many spaces. You can kind of, you can, like, map out your battlefield when you get into a battle sequence, and you can go through pipes that connect to another pipe, that connect to another pipe, and you could end up on the other side of the map, whereas if it's just regular, like, 10 squares, so say Rabbit Peach can only travel, like, 5 squares, but if you have a connecting pipe, you can get her to the other side and attack some other enemy from behind at the other end of the screen. So there could be, like, 4 enemies on the map that you're trying to take down. And then I can move her, and then I can move Luigi to go right where she is, and then Luigi will get on her feet, and she will throw him in the air, and he'll travel an additional, like, 5 more spaces over obstacles to land on the other side of this other enemy. So I just think it's really cool to think about these tactical ways to play in a battle. It's more than just your straightforward chess match, I guess you could say. So, but the biggest thing that gets you is it's we got Grant Kirkhope, who made the whole score. I got the CD with this yesterday. That's all I listen to today. I mean, I'm pumping iron, guys, and I'm playing Banjo-Kazooie style music in my ears while I'm lifting. It's that good. I love it. When the battles turn on, the music gets really, really Banjo-Kazooie-ish. So if you love Banjo-Kazooie, you're going to love this game. I mean, it feels every bit of it. And again, the humor's there. It's really funny. I want to say a spoiler here. This is a small spoiler. I mean, it's not massive storyline, but when you go to Peach's Castle, it's an exact replica of my favorite Mario game of all time, Mario 64. It's the same mirror, rose. I don't know. It's got Peach at the top. Same. It's the exact same design that from 64, and it's the music inside of Peach's Castle that plays when you're all around there, but it's got like a Banjo-Kazooie twist to it as well. And to me personally, that just, oh my, it blew me away. I mean, because it was a throwback to my favorite Mario game of all time. So I've been playing those two, but Zach, go buy the game, man. It's awesome. I think you'll really like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll definitely have to check it out. It's, I'll definitely take a look. So right on. Jesse and Marty, you guys have both been playing it too. You guys have anything to add to that?
It's been not that I thought it was going to be bad, but it's been a very pleasant surprise. It's so different than anything that's out on the Switch right now. And I think that's what draws me back to keep playing it. I finished World 1 last night, and I didn't find everything, so I'm going to go back through there and do it. But it just has a charm to it and a great sense of humor. I'm a 37-year-old man. I'm not above potty humor at all. And there's this part in the first, like one of the first sections of World 1 where and the story is that like the Rabbids world and Mushroom Kingdom have kind of gotten mashed together by this event. Uh-huh. And there's just like you cross in front of this bridge and there's just a giant toilet in the middle of a river, like a massive toilet.
And your guide Beepo will look, if you push A at some of these weird things, he'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And Beepo's like, I have so many questions.
Yeah. Later on, there's another one where there's a statue of a rabbit sitting on a pipe, a giant pipe. And it is very obvious that I'm just going to go there. It's very obvious that this is meant to represent him taking a dump. Yeah. And when you and Beepo look at it, it says, this statue is entitled Rabbit Building a Log Cabin.
Oh, I must have missed that one.
Wow.
That's when I lost it. And there's just all kinds of, like, it's so at the same time, I think part of what I love about it the most is at the same time, it is so respectful and irreverent of the Mario franchise. Like, I don't know how that works at the same time, but like, you've got Mario and he's like Mario's character, like even his animations never does anything kind of out of the ordinary. The sounds, the movement, it's so respectful of Mario. And then you've got Luigi who like lays down the little sentry and it takes off and he jumps over it and dabs does all this weird stuff. And it's just, I don't know. It's so charming. And it's like one of those things, like you never thought these things would go together. It's kind of like the first time you eat popcorn and chocolate at the same time. You never thought these things would go together, but they do. Yeah. And it's wonderful. And I want some more of it.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
What about you, Jesse? I want to know what you think about it.
Yeah. I'm enjoying my game with my play with it so far. You know, I did a stream last night You know, it's on the Nintendo Dance channel. It's almost 3.5 hours long. Played through the entire first world. And there are certain things you can't unlock in that first path. You've got to make a second path through.
Right.
So the way I played it is, most worlds have two grids, except for one of them actually has three grids. For every grid, they want you to beat it within so many turns. You don't have to. It's not a penalty. It's not a fail if you do, but you do get penalized at the end by just not getting the maximum bonus. So, and then if you lose any characters, then you'll get less of a bonus. So there was maybe five levels out of the nine, including the boss fight, where I didn't get gold. So after I finished it, the first playthrough, I went back in through the time machine and played the levels that I missed again until I got them gold, after I upgraded my weapons and abilities. So I now have, I'm stronger now than I was the first time I played it. So I have a better chance of getting the gold. And eventually I was able to gold everything in world one. And then from there, you're able to go back into the world map again and then see what you missed. So you're like at the end of level world one, you get an ability to push these blocks that you didn't have before. So now you can go back and push the blocks and see what happens. And in doing so, I actually uncovered World 1S, which I wasn't expecting that at all. So I ended up, I don't know if I golded that one, but I did finish it. And so along the second playthrough of a world, you have these rabbits with this giant toad hat on to give you a challenge level. And so I've been playing through the challenge levels as I've been reprogressing through World 1 again. I've tried up to the 8th of 10, but I think I've not passed 3, 6, or 8. And you know, 8 and 9 are in the medium class, and right now they're over my head. I probably have to upgrade more before I can beat them. But challenge three, I think is an impossible challenge without upgrading your distances so you can travel, because you have to beat it in one turn.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So, and because you have to pretty much, you know, get a character onto this point in the map, and you know, like Mario starts here, and Rabbit Peach starts here, and the furthest point they can travel is one square apart. So if any one of them can move one extra space, then I can move them in position and have Mario do a jump and hit the end. I could beat it in one turn, but right now I can't. So I'll have to do some more upgrades and then come back and beat it later. Mm. But I liked that first world boss fight. I'm not going to spoil anything. I was impressed on what I had to do and what I had to learn to complete it. Mm. So it's a fun fight.
Very cool.
The fighting is very fun.
The first time through, it took me 16 turns out of the recommended 14, so I didn't get the full reward. But in my second playthrough with the upgraded gear, I was able to beat it in 8 rounds.
Very cool.
Yeah. There you go. All three of us.
So everyone's doing it. So I'm using these extra playthroughs just to kind of grind more money and more orbs, which use the orbs to buy more skills in the skill tree. So by the time I'm done with all that and I can upgrade my stuff significantly over where I was at the end of world one, that starting world two should be smoother, I'm hoping.
Cool. Right on, dude. Well, that's Mario and Rabbids. Guess what I'm doing right now, by the way.
You're making an $80 purchase?
$84, actually.
Golly.
Yay, taxes.
Woo! There you go. There you go. Dave Ramsey be damned.
Congratulations.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if he wanted you to go to those conferences, they'd be free. Really is interested in you saving money.
Yeah. Okay. So
let him come in.
So, that is okay. So, I'm looking at the time here. Do we have any of these other things that are pressing, other games that we want to talk about? Or do we just continue and pick up on these next week?
Or do we want to talk about Pixel real quick?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. I think it's, this one will be quick. So, it's a game called Pixel Lines DX, PICZLE. It's like picture and puzzle, one word.
Yeah.
I think this has been like an iOS game in the past, and it's actually kind of digging into it. It's at least the second game of a franchise, but it's a puzzle game where you have these dots, colored dots with numbers in them, where each one represents. You have to draw a line between two like numbers and like colors.
Yeah, the numbers represent the amount of spaces it takes to connect the line to connect the dots line.
So you have twos, they have to be adjacent. If you have threes, they have to have one space, and they don't have to be straight lines. They can be kind of zigzaggy 90-degree angle lines.
Yeah, and eventually you connect all these and they make a picture.
Yeah, with the different colors. Available, and they start out pretty easy, like 12 by 12 or 16 by 16, and they get up there. I think the highest is 128 by 128. I haven't tried one of those yet, but I've done a few 64 by 64.
I think I'm up to
they take about a half an hour.
I think I'm up to a 28 by 28, and I just the other day I was just like I'm done. I'm frustrated.
Yeah, that's the type of game where you get stuck and you just can't see past yourself to find out which, like if there's like four blue sevens next to each, seven's a bad number, like 12s. If you connect the wrong two, then the other two won't match and they all won't line up. And then you have to tear it all down and try a different connection. And multiple times I've sent a screenshot on Twitter and someone said, do this instead.
The only drawback of this game, I think, is it's absolutely fun, little diversion game, fun to play. And again, it's a puzzle game, so I don't have a lot of those yet on the Switch, so it's a different speed. Two downsides to this game. Number one, the music is the most annoying video game music I've ever heard in my life.
I don't think I've muted a game faster.
Yeah, it's like the same 30-second little ditty on repeat over and over and over. And when you're working on these puzzles, that's a lot. The second thing is there's absolutely no hint system whatsoever for this game, which makes it when you get in those situations like Jesse and I are in, where you get stuck and you've done one thing wrong, it makes it really hard to figure out what to do. You can go back and undo the entire puzzle and start over with the press of a button, but I would much rather have a hint that I could either earn coins to buy or do something for, and that would pinpoint a location.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
But I mean, overall it's pretty fun. I think the total cost of it's like $15.
I think so.
Right.
I think I put like 20 hours in like in a week and a half before I bought, before Rabbids came along.
There's lots of puzzles. I think I'm on 3 out of 5 worlds, and the second world had 20 puzzles and this one's got 20.
They all have 20. Yeah. So there's a story mode that has 5 chapters and each one has 20 puzzles. I think I'm on like puzzle 13 of chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
But these, you cannot advance until you solve the previous one. So if you get stuck, you can't just quit and try another puzzle. You've got to solve it or you can't advance. But outside of story mode, there's a puzzle mode which gives you I didn't count the number of categories, but maybe like 10-ish other categories, each with another 20 puzzles. And those you can quit a puzzle and start a new one and then come back to the previous puzzle later.
Very cool.
So a lot of content, and as I said, those like the 64s by 64s, they take me a good half hour to solve. So I haven't tried one, you know, so at that rate, 128 by 128 should take me 2 hours.
Very cool. Right on, dude. Well, with that, I think that just about does it. Are we, do we have anything else that we, I think that we're good, right? So, with that, I think that we're going to call it a show. We're at almost 2 hours here, so.
It's a show.
It is a show. Indeed, it is. So, yeah. Right on. Jacob Rush from Nintendo Nostalgia, why don't you let everybody know as we wrap up the show here. First off, thanks again for being on the show. You've been here all night, you know, like 3 hours now. How can people find you and get a hold of you, dude?
Yeah, it's like, I apologize if I seem sleepy. It's 2:30 in the morning where I'm at. So
yeah, man.
I had to get up for work yesterday, like, about 6:30, 6:40-ish. So
yeah,
it's been a long one.
Yeah, dude. So, so where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me, obviously, at Nintendo Nostalgia. My personal Twitter is NOSJacob73, but the show is we're on Facebook at Nintendo NOS. We're on Twitter at Nintendo_NOS. And then we have an email if you ever want to email us at NintendoNostalgia@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at Nintendo NOSIN. So, cool part about our show. I mean, we add a little bit more and more to it all, and we finally added a hotline. That's something we really wanted to do for a long time. So this week's episode that just launched tonight at midnight, and last week's we had callers, and it's really fun. We just get to play them because our show's all about nostalgia and tapping into people's love for old Nintendo games and systems, and we want them to be a part of the show as well. So people have the ability to call us in at our hotline number, and we'll play it live on the air and respond to it. And it doesn't have to always be about a game. Maybe it's about news, like the latest in Nindies Direct. You know, we could cover that in our news for next week, just as example, and answer people's questions or thoughts about that. And it's just really fun. You know, we love doing it. We love having you guys on. Justin was on last week, actually, for our Donkey Kong Country episode. So, you know, we're sharing the love. You guys come on, we come on here. It's really fun. But yeah, that's where you can find me and us. Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, thanks again for being on the show. It's been awesome having you here. And of course, for everybody else, if you are looking forward into the future, of course, if you're a patron, of course, go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. We are going to be doing all sorts of, you know, we're going to be announcing, or we're voting. Sorry, my brain is catching up. But we're voting now on, or we're doing nominations for next Retro Rewind. And after that, we're going to be doing the voting and all of that stuff. So go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads if you are a patron, and get started and get involved in all of that process that's going on. And look forward to the Donkey Kong 64 episode that is coming out this Sunday as well. So,
if someone delivers the audio,
it will. Somebody will. I don't know who it's going to be, and I don't know when it's going to be. But that's all part of the suspense. You know, you got to keep people hungry for it. Right on. So, thanks again, Jacob, for being on the show here tonight. It's been awesome having you. If you want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NintendoDads. If you want to email us, you can do so at NintendoDads@gmail.com. If you want to watch our videos and such, look us up on Twitch or YouTube, and you will find us there. If you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, that's 929-25-NDADS. It's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for our amazing artwork. And, of course, if you want to change the world, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And if you want to subscribe, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and, of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Jesse, for Justin, who's not here, for Marty, and for Jacob, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.